First, we'll start a prayer with a prayer now that everybody's ready to listen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. All right, according to my records, we left off on chapter 86 in My Catholic Faith, the love of ourselves. We have to love ourselves, you know. It's very important to love yourself. So, as presupposed by the commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor right. So that's the whole principle behind it. And so we have two things to care for. We have the soul and the body. And we love ourselves, we care for our soul, and we care for our body too. Proper amounts. Of course, the soul is more important than the body, but it doesn't mean we don't have to care for our body. We have to care for our soul, which is first. So, the first caption under the picture, which shows a lady praying. She's saying her rosary. She has a statue of Mary in front of her to remind her to keep focused on the Blessed Virgin while she prays her rosary. And a candle's lighted next to it, and she's kneeling. So she's taking care of her soul. Our soul needs to be nourished, just like our body needs to be nourished. And the nourishment for our soul is grace and doctrine. And the teachings of the faith and morals, which is doctrine, and grace, which is God's own life. And that feeds our souls so that they are nourished. And so she's feeding her soul. And the caption says, God commands us to love ourselves. We must thus care both for the body and the soul. Since the soul is far more precious than the body, we should give it more careful attention. Every day we must pray for the grace to live according to God's will. Now under the care of the body, we have a picture of a man who is sick in bed, and the doctor is taking his pulse, and it says there, care for the body includes taking proper treatment and medicine when we are ill. Anything against health violates the duty to love ourselves. So if we abuse ourselves, some people don't eat properly. Some people don't exercise. Some people don't breathe fresh air. You know? Some people don't sleep when they should be sleeping, right? Sometimes they want to sleep enough, but they want to do it when they should be awake, you know? And so they want to take care, proper care of our health. That is a duty before God. And that's against the fifth commandment to break that. Thou shalt not kill. So staying up late, laying around, gorging ourselves on too much food and things like that is against the fifth commandment, right? Thou shalt not kill. And it's for your own self, that you love your own self enough to care properly for your body as well as for your soul. Now the first question, why must we love ourselves? Answer, we must love ourselves because God wishes and requires it. It's God's will. Our Lord said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thus he made the love of self the measure of love for others. As St. Augustine says, learn first to love God, then to love thyself, then thy neighbor as thyself. Each man is his own closest neighbor. You are your own closest neighbor, right? So you love your neighbor as yourself, and you love your neighbor, you are one of your neighbors, right? We are made after God's image. We must therefore reverence God's image in ourselves, just as we are bound to respect it in our neighbor, even in our worst enemy. Remember, there is God's image even in your worst enemy. So we respect God's image no matter who it's in, and that includes yourself. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are bought with a great price. We must be very precious in God's sight. Yes, we are. St. Peter says, you are redeemed from the vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, that is pagans, not with perishable things, with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we're redeemed with such a great price, therefore there is some kind of worth there, and that worth is that we are meant to be children of God. And because of that, we have to take care of ourselves as a child of God should be cared for. And we're responsible for each one for our own self first. Okay. Behold what manner of love. Oh, the next, missed something here. Another reason why we must love ourselves. By the merits of Jesus Christ, we are made children of God and temples of the Holy Ghost, and we should not love ourselves as such, if only to show reverence to God. So it's a reverence to God if you care for yourself because of God. Because you're a child of God, and therefore God's children ought to be cared for, therefore you care for yourself. That's a supernatural motive. That's important. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Know you not that your members are the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you? Right? And we have the Alton Rozier Society to clean the church, and volunteers clean the church, and they keep it neat looking and decorate it and so on. Well, why? Because it's the house of God. They do it for God. Right? And so we do have to do the same thing for the temple of God, which is more important than this building is. And that's your body. It's a temple of God. And so you care for it because God wants to dwell in you as is in his temple. He likes your temple, the body that he gave you. He likes that better than this church, believe it or not. Because he wants to dwell in that forever. Whereas in this church, one day it'll crumble and fall. Hopefully not too soon, right? But one day it will. So you'll be, if you save your soul, you'll be in heaven, and you'll always be a temple, an eternal temple of God. That's the temple he's more interested in. You were designed to live eternally with God and the angels in heaven. This dignity should impel us to love ourselves aright. The end of man is the glory of God and the salvation of his own soul. We must have care, love for ourselves, in order to save ourselves for God. We love ourselves because of God, to save ourselves for him. For this reason, we should even love ourselves more than others. See, he says we love our neighbor as ourselves, but yet we have to love ourselves more than others. Why? Because we have a greater duty to ourselves than to others. The reason is because you have more control over yourself than you have over others. Right? At least you should. Some people actually have more control over others than they do over themselves. Right? That's pretty weird, but it happens. Right? This should not be interpreted, however, as meaning that we should not sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others. For as we shall see, self-sacrifice is not only possible, but it is desirable. It is most desirable. Right? Second question, out of four. In what consists the true love of self? Answer, the true love of self consists in avoiding sin and practicing virtue. In other words, just being good, whether you're not doing the wrong things or whether you're doing the right things. Right? That is the true love of self. Be good. That proves you love yourself as you're supposed to love yourself. Enter by the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction. And many there are that enter that way. How narrow the gate and close the way that leads to life. And few there are that find it. Those who are careful to practice virtue and avoid sin, they are going by a narrow path. And not many people go that way. And so those taking care of themselves, for the love of God, they're going to keep his commandments, right? We must first assure our eternal salvation before we attend to earthly things, which are but means to our last end. So the more important consideration is our salvation. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be given you besides. And then the second point under this, what does true love consist in? True love for self. We should care more about our soul than for the ease of our body. If we lose our soul, we lose everything. We should provide for our bodily needs, such as food, clothing, etc., but without excessive solicitude. They are only means by which we may ascend to God. Words of Jesus to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, yet only one thing is needful. Well, that's the good of the soul. The other things that we need for the body, they are needful indeed, but by comparison to the needs of the soul, they are needless. Right? Because if we lose the soul, we lose everything, including our body. But if we save our souls, then all the trouble that our body had to suffer in order to do it is counted for nothing, because it doesn't, it's the reward is far more and completely overwhelms the sacrifices that entailed to gain it. Right? So we do need to take care of our bodies, but not before we take care of our souls. And that's not as more important than the soul. It is against true love of self to strive only after earthly possessions and honors and neglect eternal salvation. Jesus' words again, take heed not to practice your good before men in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you shall have no reward with your Father in heaven. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his own soul? So we look after, first of all, spiritual goods and let other things take their course. When you can't, what you can't control, and you work on them insofar as you're able after looking after your soul. Earthly riches and honors are not good in themselves, but are good only as means for attaining eternal happiness. If you need something to obtain eternal happiness, and it's a material possession of some kind, like a home, you know, or you need blinds for your windows or something like that for your home, or whatever kind of things you need that are material possessions, you get them in order to be virtuous so you'll save your soul. That's the purpose. You want to, it has to be something that will facilitate your salvation. Other concerns are not useful to salvation if we get overly concerned about them. If we get too mixed up in the materialism of the world, whereby, you know, the world preaches that we will be happy if we have more toys, right? Then they're neglecting our souls because we're too concerned about the various worldly goods. Then that's a big mistake. It's an imbalance, right? So they are not to be used to gratify our senses, our pride, arrogance, conceit, or vanity, but only to help us to go closer to God. That's what the whole purpose of it is, you know, of worldly goods and other things that our temporal matters, they are to help us go closer to God. And if we use them for that, you see, obviously, they're being used well. Right? Because the whole purpose is being served. For example, if someone is dying, and they're not going to live long, and in order to, if they were going to live longer, there would be a certain serious, like, measures had to be taken, like they'd be hooked up to a machine of some kind, or have some kind of emergency surgery or something to keep them alive a little longer. And they don't want to do that. They're not required. People are not required to prolong their lives by extraordinary means or means by which they consider is just too much for them. I don't want to go through chemotherapy. I don't want to go through this surgery. I'd rather just die. Well, this person can do this provided he has looked after his soul. Provided his soul is at peace with God. In other words, he has a state of grace. And he's willing to die this way and offer his death as a sacrifice. That's good. So the soul has to be looked forward for first. If a person has not seen the priest and needs it, right? You don't unplug the machine until after the priest comes. And then after he's had his sacraments and made his peace with God and gotten done everything he could for his soul, and he still wants to unplug the machine, then he may do it, see? Provided it's legal and all that stuff. Okay. So the next question, does love of self include the love of the body? Answer, the love of self includes the love of the body. For our body is a gift of God, and that we should treat it as such. God gave us our bodies, and it's a gift. So we have to take care of it properly. We don't want to get crazy about it and be obsessed with our bodies. But we take proper care of it. That's the rule. Our body is united with our soul, and the soul's instrument for good. How does our soul do any good? Well, it does it all through the body. Okay? It's for the attainment of our eternal happiness. God did not create us as disembodied souls. The angels are a spirit without a body, but we're not. We're human beings. He created us with body and soul. And it is His will that we work out our salvation in this world, our souls inhabiting our body during our life. As the instrument of the soul, the body must not be misused. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, and do not yield your members to sin as weapons of iniquity, but present your members as weapons of the justice of God. So we use our bodies to do just things and to work justice, and to be good. They're tools. That's also a part of what we are. The body is a part of a human being. We should have the greatest respect and reverence for our body. We should never defile it by sin, for it is destined to live forever in heaven. At least it ought to. It's what God intends. We should guard our eyes, ears, tongue, and hands carefully because sin enters the body by the five senses. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is like a monstrance holding God. St. Peter spoke of his body as a tabernacle. Not just for his soul, but for God. Some people are very particular about keeping their body clean. They frequently soap and wash their hands and disinfect them after touching dirty things. But they are not so careful about avoiding sins that make their body so dirty that no disinfectant can purify it. Because when our souls are stained by our sins, so are the bodies. Not with dirt that's visible, with a certain kind of dirt that is a spiritual filth. It's on the body too when we're sinned. 3, we do not love our body when we indulge in vanity, too much comfort, or by gratifying every passion the body has. By such indulgence we rather hate our body because we bring upon it eternal punishment. The devil tries to paint it up as though we're doing our body good though. So we overload ourselves with the ease and comfort, and if we defile it by sin, we actually are doing our bodies wrong. The saints mortified their bodies. That is how they understood the words of our Lord. For he who would save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it. The last question is, does true love of self also include a care for one's reputation and temporal goods? Answer, yes. True love of self also ordinarily includes a care for one's reputation and temporal goods. A good reputation is a precious possession, useful for both time and eternity. By a good reputation, one can do much good. Being well thought of, he can be of influence over others, as well as more encouraged by himself to lead an upright life. If you have a good reputation, you try to keep it, right? And also, by having a good reputation, others look up to you, and you set a good example to others, and they will behave well because of your good example, right? And so that's a good reputation is very useful and good, and it's a precious possession, as the scriptures tell us. Our Lord himself said, "So let your light shine before men in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." And the apostle reiterates the same advice when he said, "Let your moderation be known to all men." Modesty. And then the second answer, which is to the same question, one care of one's temporal goods. Temporal goods are useful as a means for obtaining spiritual riches. By them we can help the needy, promote religion, gain ascendancy for the common good. As with our body and our reputation, we should use riches only for the glory of God and the welfare of ourselves and our fellow men. When put to the right use, all these make us truly rich in the eyes of God. Then we shall have no fear at death when God says to us, "Make an accounting of your stewardship." That is all the gifts, your body, your soul, and your reputation and your goods. Okay? So any questions about love of self? You all understood it perfectly. Oh, you have one question. Yes. Actually, her problem was that she thought Mary was delinquent. You know, she was doing a good thing. Martha, she's asking about Martha when Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're concerned or troubled about many things." Right? But Mary has chosen the better part, and it shall not be taken away from her. So both parts are important. Martha's work was very important. Mary's work was given to her. That was hers, her calling. She was more of a contemplative than an activist. Right? And that was, now Martha felt like she was being, you know, abused because she had to do all the serving and the waiting on bringing the tea out and all that stuff. And Mary was just curled up at his feet, looking up and listening to every word Jesus said. Right? So Martha was a little envious. Right? And that's, you know, her real problem was not that she was doing all the work she did. Her real problem was that she thought, therefore, Mary should do it too. Right? When really it was not hers to do that at that point. Right? Of course, you know, if Martha were in charge of Mary, and Mary was her daughter as opposed to her sister, right, then Martha would be have within her rights to ask Mary to get up and help me. But she was not in charge of Mary. Right? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll finish with a question. Say again. You mean off the subject? All right. Well, whatever they do there, it won't eliminate it, right? No, I don't really know anything about it. Eliminating limbo in the Vatican. There's always been a certain number of heretics lately among the Roman clergy who want to get rid of St. Christopher, want to get rid of limbo, don't believe in... they want to make Martin Luther a saint and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, what we do with that is just basically laugh. And say, well, let's hope they get better after a while. You know, and clean the house there. Anyone else? Okay, we'll say our prayers and go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the blessing. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Descendat super vos, et mani et semper. Welcome.